Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wowee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Welcome to the latest edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Scott Gullen, Michael Warner and John Anderson joining me, Lauren Wood, as they do each and every week. Boys, our 24th episode. Scotty, and we've finally got a location for the grand final.
They've kept us on air that long. This is good. Yes. I think sanity prevails. Brisbane, the Gabba made a lot of sense given Queensland saved the competition.
It was really a fait accompli, this call, wasn't it?
Oh, it had to be. I mean, Perth, you know, they got the better stadium, but the Premier wasn't exactly helpful the whole way through. I like the inducement that we get the draft for a couple of years, Loz. I didn't know that was a tourism bonanza for Victoria.
Well, it's a tourism bonanza for a few journos, I think. I think there'll be a few that will miss out on the – I think Michael Warner's done a couple of those.
Oh, disappointed. He loves the Gold Coast watching Test cricket on the balcony. preparing for the draft.
The extra year, the 2058 grand final, I can't wait to go to that one locked on. It's just at the end of Buddy Franklin's deal with the Swans, so it'll be... but look, Queensland is a good place. Richmond haven't lost in Queensland for 4 years. Did you know that?
Funnily enough, I did, and I wasn't going to mention it.
It's basically just like playing at the MCG for you blokes, isn't it? You're loving the Gabba.
I saw Kane Corn said that Richmond gets too many games at Metricon Stadium. It's unfair.
Oh, no.
No worries. The moment of truth soon to arrive for the Tigers.
Yes, it is. I'm looking forward to that.
Find out. So are Geelong. I know they're absolutely pumped.
They don't hate Richmond, Geelong.
Their coach said that previously, hasn't he, that they weren't that good?
Yep.
Which probably wasn't his finest moment,
no,
I don't think.
He needs to just not say too much for a couple of weeks.
So we need a game, because normally you've got nine games in a round and you look at two or three and say, what a corker. At the moment, that hasn't really been happening, and that already that game has just got corker written all over it. And then maybe the winner goes on to play in our first ever night grand final where Queensland choose the halftime entertainment. And what are we hearing? Savage Garden or
Powderfinger are locals, aren't they?
Powderfinger. I'm happy with Powderfinger.
They broke up 4 years ago, but anyway.
It's a pretty handy. It's a Cole pretty Chisel handy list, actually.
Cole Chisel broke up in 1983.
Guns and Roses.
It doesn't matter. I mean, bring them back. Everyone comes back.
Yeah, it's not a bad list. Johnny I just Bum. Actually, I had a look this morning because, of course, we're sort of assuming that everyone's quarantining in their home state. At bands that are from Queensland. So, of course, we've got Amy Shark is from the Gold Coast. So we know that the AFL like her. I think she's done a bit of stuff with AFL Women's in the past, might have done an AFLW grand final. Powderfinger, of course, as you mentioned, Ando, they reformed a little bit earlier as part of a lockdown special. So they've got their hand in, which wouldn't hurt. There's another big name I'm noticing down. This is an alphabetical list I've managed to find on the Google machine this morning, is the Veronicas. Given it's a night grand final, you know, the dancers, the lights, it could look pretty spectacular.
Will it be a bit of a fizzer how fast the games are going? Like, you go to grab a beer and you've missed half the quarter. It's
Mick, not grand final. We would have had a few beers before it starts.
Well, clock's play there.
It would have slowed. Well, exactly, Scotty. We would have slowed down a bit by then. We won't be. Our intake won't be quite as rapid by night time. But clock's played all up the AFL grand final. Sounds pretty good
exactly.
to me.
But the grand final, it's a war of attrition, and it's going to be over in 80 minutes.
Have they ruled out changing that or not? Have they definitely said?
Yeah, they have.
Well, here's a little bit of insight from Gillon McLachlan, who, of course, flew out from Melbourne on Tuesday. He's embedded in the Gold Coast quarantine hub and held the grand final announcement press conference on Wednesday. Here's what he had to say about the day itself, the decision, and how it looks like it'll unfold.
My pleasure to formally announce that the 2020 Toyota AFL grand final we played in Queensland at the Gabba. In another historic first, the grand final will be scheduled for the night of Saturday, 24th October, with the exact start time to be confirmed as we talk to partners, given daylight saving and other issues.
Okay, so they made the decision officially on Tuesday. Of course, Mick, a little bit more to go into it with the government and all that sort of thing. And of course, the awards night, the Brownlow and the votes all went up on the last plane that left Melbourne on Tuesday afternoon. And it was a heck of an exercise, I must admit, out at Tullamarine on Tuesday. And Ando mentioned Geelong a little bit earlier and how deep they may go. And I reckon there's a few embedded in the Cats that think that'll be the case, because they had a massive contingent that flew out. But it's going to look pretty different. But you wouldn't want to be Mark McGowan today, you wouldn't have thought, Mick. There's a few smarting West Australians on the Twitter machine, isn't there?
I don't know. I've said this before. I don't really think it's going to be, you know, it's not like a real grand final. It's a made-for-TV event. I don't think WA would be all that upset, to be honest. And with a state of emergency or disaster extended in Victoria to September 13, we were no chance.
Hey, Loz, I did hear one today that one wag, oh, sorry, I should say significant
players
other.
Players partner we go for, yes.
Have we dropped significant other already? Did that not
survive?
Well,
sorry, no, I significant did other. Significant other.
Significant other was inquiring to the AFL about the availability of an au pair, and was told that wouldn't be happening.
Oh, Gil McLaughlin would be able to help out there.
Well, there was a suggestion that one club that had a large fraternity of small humans and the kids in tow, that there was potentially a babysitter situation
Geelong
happening.
Was taking a babysitter.
So that's correct. There'll be a bit of a kids club happening up there.
Yep. Well, unfortunately, she's going to have 35 kids at once, but
I suppose it's one of those ones where every man and his dog, as I say, wanted to get up there. That it was clear on Tuesday that there were a lot of surfboards and a lot of golf clubs, Scotty, that were being loaded into the oversized baggage section at Tullamarine. And from all reports, there was sort of 400 odd people that flew out on those last flights to complete that quarantine. And I think there's only a handful of people with return flights booked, so there are obviously plenty of them are looking to stay up there, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's the Holiday Express, Loz. That's what it was. I mean, if you're North Melbourne and these clubs that aren't going to feature, you're getting surfboards, go to every recreational thing you can do, get up there because you're planning, why come back to Melbourne when you don't have to? I mean, it makes a lot of sense, and will there be another plane, you know, in the finals? What if there's all these club directors or these people, if their club's in the grand final? Surely there'll be another sneaky plane at some point.
Well, that was the talk at Tullamarine yesterday. I know it was rumoured a little bit last week. It's been mentioned on a couple of footy shows that there could be one last flight, and Collingwood President Eddie Maguire flew up on Tuesday. He's going to do his various radio and television commitments from up there, and he was talking about how they might look at getting Steel Sidebottom up there should Collingwood go deep. Of course, his partner Alicia is due to give birth, I think, basically any day. So you would imagine that Collingwood would be behind that charge of getting one last flight to, what's the saying, one last ticket to Charlesville or something along those lines.
The last plane out of Melbourne. Almost gone. Yeah. Actually, Collingwood's Collingwood's coach has had a bit to say the last few days, hasn't it? Been interesting how he, first of all, had a crack back at an article that was published in our paper on Saturday. Was it Robbo's column where he spoke about Nathan Buckley's inability to win a premiership, either as a player or coach at Collingwood? He had a good go back at that at the end of his press conference, which he raised himself. And he wasn't asked the question. And then last night I thought what he said about Cale Hooker's 200th game celebration being rained upon by some really poorly judged footage of him chasing Buddy and then being beaten up by Jonathan Brown to the tune of 5 goals. Which I don't know what person was thinking who would have put that together and who okayed it and thought it was funny. But yeah, good on Buckley for calling that out. I totally agree with him.
Yeah, they had the apology from Fox Footy this morning on that one. But what did you think of the Buck stuff, Mick? Because I know the word emptiness was used by Nathan. My understanding is that was only used in a tweet or perhaps a headline on the story. And Robbo's piece was primarily focused on the footy side of things, spoke to Tony Shaw, who's a colleague of yours at 3AW, and Rodney Eed, who, of course, worked with Nathan at Collingwood. But it's not often a coach likes to keep a press conference going. They usually can't wait to get out of the media room. And I know Luke Beveridge has done it a couple of times too. It's only typically when they've got something that they really want to say. I know he was pretty focused on the word emptiness, which my understanding wasn't even in Robbo's story. Robbo was really focused on the footy side of things, you know, spoke to a 3AW colleague of yours in Tony Shaw and Rodney Eed, who knows Bucks well. So it was maybe a long bow to draw, do you think?
Yeah, well, it was his 200th game as Collingwood coach, and I think Robbo was sort of just reflecting on what that meant and whether, obviously, we know they went close in 2018, or was it 2018? Yeah, it was. But he's always sort of likes to preach about ethics, Buck. So I remember the tweet he sent out about Scott Morrison's leadership during the bushfire crisis, sort of having a crack at him, which sort of fell flat on its face when he went and played tennis with Alicia Molik, I thought. But I suppose he wanted to get that out there and say that he doesn't have an emptiness, but I don't think Robbo said that he did. All he said was, through this long career, he doesn't have a premiership apart from, of course, right at the very start, and with Port Adelaide,
yeah, back in 92, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah, before he joined the Brisbane Bears.
They broke bread, I think, on Monday afternoon, by the sounds of it. Obviously, Bucks went on AFL 360 Monday night and spoke about that they'd had a phone call on Monday afternoon, and it was all pretty amicable on Monday night. I know a lot of people on Twitter were hoping for a few fireworks that it was a bit of a fizz-up.
Siren sounds and the drought breaks. First ever win for Matthew Nix as an AFL coach. First win for 2020 for the Crows. A moment they'll never forget.
Been keeping a pretty close eye on Hawthorn in the last few weeks, Ando. Obviously, you never want to be the team that loses to a team like Adelaide that finally gets their first win of the season. I don't think any of us want to see a team go winless. So it was great scenes for the Crows and Matthew Nix.
Interestingly, I was sitting opposite a Hawthorn supporter this morning at 3AW and Ross Stevenson, and raised it, and he said, "Oh, we were tanking." No, I should be said it was a joke. Yeah, on here. I should be said
that's fantastic.
But he was, I don't know, it was just sort of an interesting comment. Now, no, that's not going to happen, and we won't be going back to those sort of Melbourne days, I guess. But it was interesting just looking at when he said that. I know Ollie Hanrahan, he plays as a promising young forward, and I saw him up in the back line at one stage getting monstered by a massive Adelaide Crows player, and Ollie just got pushed aside, like Jonah Lomu pushing aside the Poms in the World Cup. And I thought, well, what's Ollie doing up there? Is Clarkson teaching him how to learn the vagaries of defence? Anyway, it's Hawthorn clearly are going to make the finals, and they don't get low draft picks very often. I can't think the last time when they'll be in this sort of position.
Just on that
back in Buddy's year. Yeah, Mick?
He questioned the academies, which I agree with. He's right that the academy, what is it called?
The Next Generation Academies, he started the sentence with, "Now I'm not sooking, but."
Yeah,
and which generally means you're about to, doesn't it?
But he is right, because it's a farce. And this year they think 10 of the top 20, well, it would have been, I don't know what sort of draft we're going to have, but is compromised. Like the Western Bulldogs, Scotty, your team are going to get
that. Yeah, let's not talk about changing anything, Michael.
No, so you'll get the best player who's
correct
through this academy. And Clarko's right, when they have bottomed out, they won't get access to a pure draft. But I'd have to point out that when his team won three premierships in a row, I think it was 13, 14, 15, was it not, that was during the greatest era of compromised drafts we've ever seen, where Gold Coast and the Giants were getting 8 of the first 10 picks. So you can't have it both ways. They benefited from that, Hawthorn. You would say that teams around them were unable to replenish their list with the top-end talent that they would have in an uncompromised period.
And the timing, though, you don't go on this rant after you've lost the only game of the season to Adelaide and you're at, you know, you pick your moments. Why bring up this when clearly you could have gone to the draft the last couple of years? You can go to the draft again. Yes, there'll be a little bit compromised, but you can still have three or four picks in the top 20 and get a good player. So it's just the timing of Clarko is all wrong.
So in that case, the pressure. In that case, Scotty, you know, like any homeowner, they're sort of weighing up a renovation versus a rebuild. Do you knock it down and start again? But are you sort of suggesting that maybe it was a bit of a deflection from our man?
He's learned from the best. Sheeds was the best at it. Clarko is the best coach the last couple of decades. Yeah, I mean, he selected a team. That's why I got swayed to pick them. Like, he brought back Burgoyne, Frawley, Stratton. Like, they weren't. He didn't pick a team to lose to Adelaide and go down the youth way. He brought all the experience back. He was revving them at quarter time when they hadn't started well. He didn't want to be this team. And then by the end of the night, he'd lost that game. And then he slipped into, oh, you know, it's the draft's fault that I can't rebuild. Well, they're not going to ever – he's not going to go all the way back to a proper rebuild, but you still got to, you know, go to the draft. And he has refused.
What about the Blues, Ando? What did you make of their loss to Collingwood? Do they have a plan B under David Teague? They're sort of getting themselves in these winnable positions, but just can't close it out.
Yeah, interesting forward line look last week. You've got three blokes standing fairly close together who are 6 foot six and upwards in Casbolt, DeConing and Harry Mackay. I didn't like the look of that. Obviously,
that was Levi's worst game for a while, Ando, wasn't it?
Yeah, Levi, we were celebrating Levi early in the year, weren't we? After four or five games, and probably Eddie Betts at the same time. And my comment with that is always, yeah, they're going to have some good games, but you've got to judge them on a year. And this is a shortened year, but even now, neither of those two players are looking where they would want to look in terms of the future. I think Tom DeConing is going to be a wonderful talent. He's got an appetite for the contest that Harry Mackay hasn't proven to me that he's got. Harry Mackay can be a very handy player, but right at the moment, yeah, I just that DeConing is comfortable in the ruck and he's comfortable forward and he's not strong enough yet and he's probably 2 or 3 years off where he needs to be. But every club in the AFL would love to have him on their list, and I wouldn't say every club necessarily wants to have Harry Mackay on their list. He's promising, but he's got a lot of work to do.
And is his brother better, Ando?
Harry Mackay's brother?
No. DeConing.
Oh, well, I hope he is. is that the word? Is it?
No, I don't know. It's always the other one's always better, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this kid at the same stage is probably ahead of his brother, from what I can gather. His brother a bit more of a spec pick. But the bottom line was you asked about Carlton. They didn't kick a goal in the second half of the game. So that's insipid and, you know, really, really disappointing. When the game was on the line to try and make the eight, they're probably not going to make the eight now because of that. And Carlton supporters have been asked to be patient yet again.
Is the problem, Ando, also that they're not exactly a young list? They had a lot of, I think they got four or six 30-plus players in that team, a bit like Essendon. Is there enough there for you to be confident of the future, Essendon or Carlton premiership lists?
Yeah, there is, Mick. I think you look at players like Fisher, obviously Sam Walsh, you know, wonderful player. I just mentioned DeConing, Jacob Weeder, when he was there for 10 years as a key defender. They haven't had Caleb Mouchbank all year. And we asked, I don't know whether you three were there, but we had a meeting with the Giants earlier this year at the Fox Studios, and about four or five Giants players came in with Leon Cameron. And I asked the question of Leon Cameron, if there's one player, of all the players you lost, and we're talking about, you know, Taylor Adams, who's such a really, really good player. Jack Steele's had a great year. Adam Treloar, Dylan Shield, the list goes on and on. Who's the one you regret losing most?
And this Jacob Townsend, obviously.
And Jacob Townsend. This is off the record, but I'm using his words. He certainly suggested that Caleb Mouchbank would probably be number one. Wow. So that's how highly they rate Mouchbank, who's been injured virtually all the time he's been at Carlton. But key defenders are so hard to find. And so he's still got a real future. Don't write him off. Because I read where his name's been thrown up for trade. Well, you know, if someone gets him and he gets fit, they're going to get a bargain. I can tell you that because he can play footy. But I think the list is still young enough. It's just, you know, you get Curnow back in, makes a massive difference.
Yes.
And some of the older players, well, who are we talking about? Casbolt, Eddie Betts.
Simpson.
Ed Simpson.
Simpson, yep. Okay. Mark Murphy.
Cruiser.
Yeah, Jack Martin's a star. Now they're okay. I just want to see their whole list. I like what I've seen of David Teague overall. He's composed, which, you know, obviously as an AFL coach, you want composure. He doesn't say stupid things. Then their pressure most of the game is really good. They just broke down up forward, and they were too big up forward, as it turned out.
Yeah, it's the difference, isn't it? Just the ability to close out those games.
And lack of small forwards. Like, yeah, they need Dom Papley, don't they?
Yeah, well.
Yes. Or Dan Butler.
Dan Butler. Hasn't he had a great couple of weeks the last few weeks. Cooled. Has cooled a little bit. But it's funny how things can turn, isn't it, how quickly in this game and this truncated season that St Kilda can go from being in the top four to now effectively being a 50-50 chance of making the eight.
Thanks to a Gold Coast in Alice Springs.
Yes, it could come down to a Friday night against the Giants, scarily enough, for St Kilda. But just on the Giants, and you mentioned Leon Cameron there, Ando, news on Wednesday that Leon Cameron has finally re-signed on that contract that we've been told has been all but done since the beginning of the season. So he's got another 2 years at GWS. I think I've spoken about it on this podcast before. I'm not big on rushing to re-sign coaches. I don't really know why we do it. Like, it's almost a media pressure sort of thing. Not suggesting that the Giants have done that, Mick, but you know, even re-signing coaches with a year or two to go on their contracts, it's always seemed a bit odd. Just leave it to the end of the season. But where do you think the Giants are? Is this the right call for them, or are they sort of cooling under Leon as well?
Only they would know. But I heard Bruce McAvaney say in a call 2 weeks ago that they're the most fascinating team he's called. And he's right. You could do PhD on the enigma that is the GWS. There's the difference between their best and their worst. You know, the Leon Cameron, the Ferrari thing. Like, can they play without Toby? The talent they've got. They're a head-scratching team. At their best, they can beat anyone. But we don't see it enough. So hopefully this decision was all part of getting some stability.
Yes, another Cameron still yet to re-sign too, Ando. Am I right in saying that big Jeremy still yet to sign on the dotted line? Maybe this is the first of two Camerons they're hoping to secure.
Yeah, he's always – I think he's probably ahead of Zach Williams because they're thinking they're going to retain Jeremy Cameron and they think they're going to lose Zach Williams. So you can't keep both. They're not going to lose both. And Cameron's always said he wanted to stay with that group. But Zach Williams is really tight with guys like, I think he lived with Lockie Whitfield. They're really good mates. That group, Toby Green, Josh Kelly, it's Canelio, they're a really tight group. And they've all pledged that they will stay together. Well, Jeremy Cameron's obviously going to be playing for at least $500,000 less, probably more actually. He may have the biggest drop in salary in the history of the game. With COVID reducing wages, plus his back end of contract coming down. But I think he'll stay with the Giants.
Yeah, interesting to hear Leon Cameron the other day too. He used the words giant for life in relation to Zach Williams. So pretty varying reports around town of where that's at, but obviously the Giants are feeling pretty confident. Just want to touch on Carlton before a couple of other issues before we get to the whisper and your best of the best, Ando. But the Cats, we mentioned them earlier, Ando, that they are just motoring along beautifully there and obviously getting plenty up to Queensland, Scotty, with hopes that they're going to go deep into the finals. And there were many, many sets of eyeballs on Gary Ablett, who of course made the trip to the Gold Coast on Tuesday with his wife Jordan, son Levi, and of course Andrew Mackie, who's been training him down your way on the Surf Coast. Are we confident enough to say that he'll just slot straight back in, or is that a bit too simple?
I think the idea is, I think when he comes out of quarantine, there's one game left. Look, I mean, there's a few youngsters in that team, Oz, who've done, you know, Brad Close, who's done his role, they apply pressure. So there is you're going to play him. They're going to play him. He's not going to go through this whole exercise and Gary Ablett's not going to play. I think they'd have to get one game in to him before the finals just to get the cobwebs out. He's a very good player, fresh. Don't know how, given Mac and him, how hard they would have trained, jokingly, but I think they'll find a spot for him, Loss.
He's a certainty. He's the best player in history.
Correct.
And fresh, too. Like, this is... Almost. Shane Edwards said similar at the airport with his new baby Maya in tow when he made the trip across the dual premiership Tiger. Is that that's almost the break that players look for just before the finals. I don't think we can underestimate the influence that that these sort of blokes are going to have.
No, it's going to be a great result.
You make the comment about being fresh, Scotty. I think his best two games this year were probably the first game against GWS. He was. He and either Mitch Duncan were Geelong's two best players in a loss. And did Geelong play Hawthorn after the break? Yeah, I reckon they did, and I think he was BOG. So they're both fresh games, if you like. So I don't think that'll be an issue for Gary. He'll present. If he presents, he'll be right to go.
That extra fire too. We keep hearing him talk about. He spoke on the Geelong website on Monday night. He's been pretty open that this is his last season, and there's one piece of silverware he's got firmly in his sights. So he's only going to Queensland for one reason, really, you'd have to say, and that's to bring a bit of excess baggage back with him in the form of the Premiership Cup. So, looked very well out at Tullamarine on Tuesday. So we certainly wish Gary all the best in his bid to get back. Mick, just before we get to the whisper and the best of the best, another big story from you in yesterday's Herald Sun, being Tuesday, regarding, of course, St Kilda great Danny Frawley and his diagnosis of CTE. This is a huge story. Of course, Polly Farmer, the only other player that we're aware of that has been diagnosed posthumously with this disease, and it just keeps that concussion issue really front and square.
Yeah, very sad situation, obviously. But I think in one of the pieces I wrote that Danny's parting gift really to the game is that some more information about concussions. And this is another wake-up call for contact sports, not just the AFL, about, the seriousness of head knocks. Speaking to one of the neuroscientists yesterday, he said, when you do your hamstring, you don't come back the next week, do you? You wait the 21 days, sometimes 30 days, till that part of your body heals. And he's saying that the science is saying to them that you should wait 21 to 30 days after a heavy concussion for your brain to repair, even if you don't show symptoms. So I think we're getting closer to far more serious concussion. And it's the bravery of the Frawley family to agree to send Danny's brain to Boston, the Brain Bank, and to the Sydney Brain Bank that gives us that information.
Great story, Michael. Very, very good story.
It was incredibly powerful, wasn't it, Scotty? Mm. And you mentioned the 21 days there, Mick. And we had the AFL came out and backed their protocols, as they do every time. We had some players, including Dan Hannabury, speak at the airport, of course, backing the care that the players get. But are we safe to say that there are people looking at this at league level, looking at suggestions like that of the neuroscientist that you spoke to, that, we could potentially see a mandated time frame for concussions? Is that realistic to think?
Well, I think it'd go close to destroying the game, though, if you did have to sit out a month. I don't know. It's very vexed. Josh Kennedy, did you see last week? He gets a knee to the head from Bolter. He clearly was knocked out. He went on, off, and then came back on before he came back and collapsed.
Yeah, that was a good look.
So it's still happening, though. You know, it wasn't that long ago that Jordan Lewis was frustrated by
Karen Harborough.
Came back on after.
Yeah.
I know it was 10 years ago, but what about Mychek? Collingwood was saying last week, yeah, we think he's cleared all his tests and he's good to go. It's a really awful part of footy, but maybe we just don't quite take it seriously enough.
Agree, and the effects, unfortunately, aren't known for years later. But as you say, very, very brave of the Frawley family, and particularly Anita, to speak out. And hopefully, as you say, Mick, it's it is for the greater good in the long run. And we can understand more and more about what is it's an incredible blight, really, on the game, and there can't be enough research on it. So well done to Anita, and well done to you on another great story. Scotty, you're keeping yourself very, very busy in the Surf Coast Hub with the Super Score, as you do each and every week. I loved the your story in the Wednesday Herald Sun about the new Peter Crimmins book that is being released this week. So if you're a Hawthorn fan, maybe make sure you check out that one. But you always keep a whisper up your sleeve for us here at the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, which we love. And I understand you might be heading airport way.
Yeah, well, the hubs are proving to be a fertile ground for the whisper. And my spies at the airport, I won't name names who they are, were quick to get back to me about, so this last plane, which we've joked about, there were limited seats and it was an AFL invitation and there was all these protocols. And many had inquired, as you would, can I take my partner? Yeah, it's pretty boring for 2 weeks sitting in a hotel room. So
2 months.
Hey?
It's 2 months.
No, but initially the quarantine,
oh, yes,
you're
yes,
stuck yes. in. So, and the AFL were, you know, one of our staff members who stuck up there asked, can I bring the family? No, 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 no. Well, in the line just behind Eddie McGuire and a few others was a well-known TV type with a female who was identified as his girlfriend. So we're not going to out him right now, but it certainly raised eyebrows amongst the contingent. Allegedly, they may have paid for the girlfriend, which is fine. We understand that. But it was certainly a change of policy from the AFL about these seats, which were like golden tickets. Oh, boy.
Now, how many text messages a week do you get from people asking you to identify the person that is the subject of the whisper?
Well, Mike Sheen sends in about 3 a day. So when I deal with Mike, I then go to the rest of the population. It's fairly regular, Michael, but as you know, sometimes I can't go there.
Wasn't Mike Sheen opposed to the whisper initially?
He doesn't like it at all, Mike.
Yet he wants to know.
Oh, he's desperate to know, but he's also desperate for me to actually out all the people in the whisper. Oh, he gets very angry, Michael, very angry.
This is incredible, incredible. You'll be pleased to know then that you've got at least another 8 weeks of hub life to be explored, and we're lucky enough to have had a number of our colleagues. They're up there on the inside for you, Scotty. I know they've had to sign some pretty strict documents about what you can and can't do in the hub and what you can and can't report and use your Twitter account for and all the rest of it. So they might be under lock and key for the next 2 weeks, but they'll be well and truly in amongst the action for you
I
after that.
I couldn't think of a worse place to be on the planet, actually, in that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Michael. Very comfortable in God's country.
Yeah.
Yes, the Melbourne hubs push on for, I'd say, for at least another week, but I think we'll be in our hubs for quite a few more weeks at the rate that we're going. Boys, I'm committed to an in-person podcast this season, but it might still be a little bit optimistic at the way that we're tracking. But all eyes, of course, are on Queensland, and we've got very much a Sunshine State flavour about all things AFL news this week with the grand final confirmed at the Gabba, and Ando's brought back the best of the best, which we've enjoyed throughout this season of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. And Ando, with the grand final heading north, you've looked at some of the best players to come out of Queensland. There's quite a few.
Well, yeah, you forget, Loz. I mean, and some of the absolute greats. But if you take it on someone who spent their teenage years in Queensland, that will include two of the five that I'm going to name. My fifth best is Dane Beams, who at his best was in the top four or five midfielders in the game, won a Copeland premiership player. He was a star, Dane Beams, and obviously faded pretty quickly in recent times from the footy scene. Number four, I'd have Jason Ackermanis, and that's how good it is. So Anchorman is not out of place in the best side of the past 30 years. We know what he did, and there's probably not too many better balanced players or more skilled players on both sides of their body than Acker, or big game players as well. Number three, Nick Riewoldt. What did he win? Did he win five or six best and fairest with St Kilda?
It was six best and fairest, five All-Australian Blazers, I believe.
Yeah. I sometimes think Nick gets sold a little bit short because people say, well, he didn't win a premiership. Yeah, well, he was a point off winning one and seven, you know, whatever he was in the other one against Geelong. So wonderful player. Number two, Nick Riewoldt was born in Tassie, I should say that, but then the family moved to Queensland when he was fairly young. And the same situation for Michael Voss, who was born in Gippsland, and then his father Gary took the family up there. Voss is number two. So if Michael Voss is number two, number one's got to be great, and that's Jason Dunstall. He's there. And any conversation was one of the great players ever. So, fairly good little crew, isn't it?
Yeah, and I love Dunstall's reaction and Jack Riewoldt's left-foot
snapper. Oh, that was disgraceful.
Not only was he great on the field, he's proven fantastic off it, Jason, hasn't he, Mick? It was one of the great sprays and worth hunting down on the tweet machine.
My favourite reputation
as a surly guy, but he's actually a good bloke.
My favourite three commentators, special comments commentators, and it's all very subjective and personal, but I'd have Lee Matthews and Jason Dunstall as two of them. Yeah. And part of that is just the minimum of words they use.
Yeah.
They don't waffle, and they just cut to the chase so quickly. They don't have to.
No. What they say, they know it makes sense, and they don't have to sort of polish it up like a lot of the others.
Yeah, and keep repeating themselves and trying to get their co-host to agree with them and bunk them up. They don't care about that. They didn't care about when they played footy. Lethal certainly didn't. And the other one for me would be, I think, when I analyse what Luke Hodge says, I can see more and more why he is going to be a really good coach. I can't say he'll be a I reckon he'll be a coach. I think he has to be a coach. Wow. There's a coach in there just ready to jump out. Luke Hodge should be a coach.
What I like about him in this comment, Zando, is he just keeps talking until his point's finished. He doesn't care that the play's going on. It's like Hodge can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. I think he's a little – that's probably – I'm putting words in Luke Hodge's mouth here, but – maybe he's surprised that he's been doing as much boundary work as he has, Scotty.
Oh, absolutely. But he has to. He's the only one there, isn't it? So it's sort of
It is. That's right. He's the victim of Corona, I suppose. Yeah, but I think typically he would be up in the in the stand doing the real stuff.
But saying that, Ando, Lee Matthews has sort of been relegated from Channel 7, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, he has been. So it's a 3AW have been the beneficiaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't quite get that. Is it an age thing that the young people don't relate to Lee Matthews? I don't know. I would have thought if you're good, you're good. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you're the best player ever, that's a fairly handy start.
Would have thought so.
Well,
Loz, I should interrupt to say, as we were going to air, the horse named after Danny Frawley, Captain Spud, ran third on debut at Bendigo in a promising race. I wasn't on it, Mick. In my wisdom, I managed to find something that finished ninth. So,
your thing. You managed to watch it while I was on air here, Ando. Your thing did give up a bit.
Yeah, it did. I had a chance to get through and decided not to, Scotty, which is sadly off in the way. Anyway, we fight on.
It is. I'm sure your investment would have been a responsible one, Ando, which we encourage on the podcast. A very good multitasking by you, Scotty. Great work as always from you, Mick and Ando.
I don't know why you went silent, Scotty.
You're in the midst of something very, very good, Michael.
Yes, very, as I say, multitasking in the hub is key at this point. We're a few months in with a little bit to go. Ando, great analysis from you both on and off the field. Again, we'll catch up with all of you next week. We will be across everything happening in Footy Frenzy 2.0. Of course, in the hubs and out of them, all of the wash-up from the grand final announcement. We will be across it at heraldsun.com.au in the paper every day and here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast next week. We'll see you then.